pray, God, that the Holy Spirit just will pour himself on you as well as everyone else in this place, including myself, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got a message this morning that I think it's been helping me. It came from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to share it with you. I'm on assignment this morning, like usual. Every Sunday we come up, whether it's myself, Pastor Moran, Pastor Sue, whoever preaches up here, we're on assignment to bring you the Word of God. And let me tell you something, you are on an assignment as well. When you go home in your own spare time and you take the Word of God out, you're on assignment to find a Word of God for your life that will suit your situation, even if there's nothing going wrong in your life. There's a Word of God for you to express your glory to His name for what He has already been doing for you. If you're going through things today, you need to know that God has already worked, that He's going to work. There's no plan B for God. It's only plan A. That's what He's doing right now. So don't look for a plan B in your life. God has the plan A, and it's already at work in your life. Doesn't make any difference how old you are or how young you are. God's plan is working in and over your life. We just have to open our eyes and ask God to get to a higher place to see and to hear what He has for us. You know, we're not little sparrows. God didn't create us like little sparrows. Doesn't say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as sparrows. And only go so high. He says, as eagles, He restores us. And He causes us to get up again and go to the high places. That's where we live in the Spirit. We don't live down in this place. But it's easy, isn't it? Hello? It's easy, isn't it, to get caught up in a place when you're going through things and you have to live, thank you, Lord, down here while God's up there. Don't we get that way sometimes? And we cry and squall and bawl, and it just seems like nothing's working sometimes, and God's got a deaf ear, but He doesn't. He hears everything. He sees everything, and He wants us to know that we may not be able to see everything and hear everything right when we're going through something, but that's okay. He's our ears and He's our eyes to see and hear things, and He wants us to come up and spend some time. Crawl up in God's lap and sit for a while. Watch a child, what they do. How much enjoyment not only the parents get, but how much enjoyment the little child gets when they crawl up and they just want to snuggle up and get in daddy or mom's face and just stay there, the warmth. I remember there was a time several months ago, Pastor Murray and I took little Brooklyn to Stewart Park, the park area that they had there, and we did a bit of running around with her and swings and whatever else, and then we sat down to eat at one of those tables there, and I tell you, man, it just hit my heart. All of a sudden, I've got Brooklyn with me because I'm doing these things with, you know, Mimi and her little playthings, you know, Sesame Street here. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, she says, Papa, Papa. And she turned around and just snuggled in and hugged me without saying anything. Man, I had tears in my eyes. And I thought immediately how much God's just like that with us. Papa, Dad, God, Papa. Papa, Dad. You feel like that maybe this morning? You just want to crawl up in His arms? You know, sometimes as we get older and more mature, we get stiff and starchy as well. And we forget that God says we are His children. It doesn't make any difference. I look at it this way. The older you are, the bigger of a kid you can be in God's lap, and He loves it. God's not going to say, "You, what's wrong with you, child? Get up and start standing up on your own." There's sometimes we need to cry. There's sometimes we need to shout and cry unto God to let Him know what we are feeling like. But wouldn't that be something for a parent just to say, I have that little child crawl up in their lap and just cry and sob and say, if they can talk, things just keep on going on, and that's all the father and mother says is nothing. And just doesn't do anything to console them. No, when we cry to God, he hears our cry. He is Almighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, wonderful counselor, and he talks with us, and he walks with us, and he wants to hold us in his arms. He wants to hold us in his lap, and he wants to hear what we're feeling. But he doesn't want to keep us there, because any mom or dad that has a child will always console them and encourage them, it's okay. You're in my arms. I'll take care of it. We'll take care of it together. We're going to go places together. We're going to get over this. Not you're going to get over it by yourself. We're going to get over this together. Have you ever been there? Older people too, have you ever been there? Wow, praise God. Well, this morning I've got a message. It's in the book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. I wonder how he said it. Doesn't make any difference now. He's up with God's glory. Habakkuk, we're going to look at a number of verses. It started with chapter 1. Let's take a look at Habakkuk chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4 first to start things off. Now, I just want to say something here that at the time that Habakkuk is ministering, this whole nation of Judah is in, they really need badly to repent. Because they've taken on things within themselves that has caused them to sin, and they know they have to repent, but they don't repent, and it's been a downward spiral to the point now where, you know, it's really bothering this minister, this prophet, this person called Habakkuk, and so he's at a very crucial point. He's at a very difficult time in the nation of Judah with God's people, who are not hearing, who are doing some terrible things, who need to repent, but they're not in position to repent. He says here, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And put yourself in this now too. How long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Doesn't it sound a bit like today? Does it sound, do you feel a little bit like this is maybe what you're also sensing? You're trying to walk for God. You're seeing all these things go on. And it's almost like the righteous are powerless amongst all this stuff. Take a look at verse 12 and on. He says, are you not God from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. That's a statement. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment, O rock. You have marked them for correction. Your eyes, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. The evil ones are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to the net. They're not looking at the source. They're making idols out of things that are bringing them temporary comfort, that are actually stealing the worship and the admiration that God requires, and they fail to repent and see their error. He says, and they burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their snare is sumptuous, fat. Don't you see that in a lot of wealthy people? Don't you see that, not even wealthy people, people who are doing wrong? Don't you see them always getting ahead, and you're doing the right thing, and you're not? Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay the nations without pity? Do we get that way? I wish I could have had another translation, but I don't have time because I've got a bit I want to get through this morning. But do we not feel this a lot of times? Do we not almost speak these same words out? What this prophet is seeing is that he's looking out over a nation that know God. But they have forsaken God because of other things from other nations that are creeping in. Idols, idol worship. And they're actually worshiping things, again, that only bring them a temporary comfort that are not really the source of even where that thing came from. So he's aggravated. And he's looking out. So what do you do in a place like this? Word of God today is, God has already, even from the beginning and before the beginning of time, has set his word in order for every single person who ever lived on this earth. He has set in order for us this morning, and we'll talk about our group here this morning. He has set a word, an eternal word, in order. And that word is waiting for you to pick it up and make the change in your life. And it's not just a one-time thing that happens. It's Christianity, living for Christ, is a daily thing. It's a daily relationship. You try, if you're married, you try not talking to your wife. You try not telling her that you love her. You try doing things all by yourself and sort of leave her out somewhere. How long do you think that relationship's going to last? It's not going to last. And if it was reversed around, it's not going to last. And God is saying that I created you in my image. I created you as my children. I've created you to always come to me, to behold me. Even my word that I've set in order, you may not always see it right there, but it is there. How can I illustrate what I'm saying? And I let me use the car illustration again, if I may. People who are going to create a specific model of a car, where does it start? Where did we start? God's head, God's heart. It started, that automobile started in a person's heart and mind, and then began to pick up a pencil or a pen and began to make sketches. And then as he made that sketch, he got professional people to make a real good drawing of what he was trying, the raw idea of what he had. That raw idea finally became the architectural design on paper to, at that point, was showing what this man had already had in his heart. It was all ready there. The finished product was all ready there. But was it ready? Does anyone drive a sheet of paper to work? No. It takes time. There's a time period that we go through. But that person already put something in motion, a car that he designed. And then from that paperwork and that architectural design, then it goes to a factory, and they got expert people who begin to get all these different elements of products and manufactured things that this car is going to be made out of. And they don't just come from one place. They come from sometimes all over the world. Bear with me now. They come from all over the world. Where do they end up? At one plant. And an assembly line. And all the people that are there are ready to go on this assembly line to put all of these thousands and thousands of pieces and wires and bolts and nuts right down to the very T. It's all been set out exact, precise. Even today they've got robots that are so precise they do better work and faster work than human beings. But it's all precision. Is that something we glory in? Do we just stop at the factory? Do you drive a factory? No. What's in the factory is being made for you to drive, though. You see, there's times and periods and epochs of time that have been placed in order for things to happen for you, to bless us. So it doesn't stop there. They put all of these things. Are we awake now? Are you getting bored? Don't be bored. They get all of these pieces, whoever, if it's a robot, mechanical robot, or these other human beings that are all putting these things together and all these pieces. And finally, it starts. This car starts coming down, moving down to the end of the assembly line. They even give it color. Colors its skin, just like God did ours. Isn't that nice? Even got headlights. They drive it off. They don't drive it off. It comes off the assembly line. But that car, as beautiful as it looks, isn't this true? As beautiful as that car is powerless and cannot perform what it's been made to perform to do. Because it doesn't have what? Fuel. Doesn't have fuel. The Word of God is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Don't expect to get anywhere in your walk with God if you're not, if I can say this going back to the car, as soon as they put the petrol in the car and push the button, start button, or if it's a turn, key turn, as soon as it starts up for the rest of that car's existence, it has to find, it has to go to a petrol station. Or she ain't going to run, and it will not be able to perform the way that thing was made to perform. Don't look at yourself like, I don't need God. I don't need to read the Bible. Yes, you do. And thank God that you made your way here today. But this is only one petrol station. You better have a petrol station at your house where you fill up on God's Word. You better have a petrol station in your automobile. If you have a CD player or whatever else, don't look at a DVD while you're driving. But make sure you hang the Word of God somewhere where you can pick it up exactly when you need it, as often as you need it. It's your petrol. It's your power for your life to do exactly what God has called you and I to do. And so all of that thing, speaking of the car, was all set up, all designed, even to the last momentum of that car going down, putting petrol in it, and boom, off she goes. I want to put it forth to you today, friends, is that we are the exact same. God's beyond anything we can think of with his wisdom. But don't you think we're a little bit like a chip off the old block, off the old rock? We create things and do the same things, but we can't see that what we're doing is the same thing what God requires. We need fuel of God's Word. We need a Word to be given to us at strategic times so that we know what we're going through. When you know the facts about what you're going through, it's palatable because you understand why. And if you understand why, and what you're going through, you can get through it. Amen? And that's so true. So praise God. You know, we're not cars, we're not automobiles. But I do want us to take a look at the rest of this text, and we'll read on. In chapter 2, he says here, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Take a note of verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. He's waiting for God's answer. Where was he? Up on a rampart. We'll get there in a second. And what I will answer when I am corrected. You see, if you don't receive the correction from God in your stinking thinking sometimes, then you're actually saying, God, I'm smarter than you, and I can get by, let me go. He'll let you go, but you'll get deeper in your mess. It's having the pride put down to receive the correction of what the Word of God is saying to you, to put you back online what needs to be done, what has to be done, the changes that are needed in your life to get to do the rest of God's plan. Then I answered the Lord. Then in verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is not yet, it is for an appointed time. But at the end of it will speak. But at that end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, and this is what we don't like. This sort of like scrambles my brains up sometimes. Though it tarries, wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it. God has a way. Jesus had a way, didn't he? When he was asked questions, he gave a reply. It didn't even make sense to the question that they asked, because he was going from a greater knowledge and lifting them up to see something different where they had and what where they had to go, what they had to see. He says, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Does that make sense? Let's read that last couple lines. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I don't need to hear that, man, when I'm going through something. I want it now. I want it now. I'll tell you something. We live in a generation that is now, and not to knock on moms who do this, but we live in a generation that is celebrating their kids every move they make. Go to preschool. Graduate, celebrate. Go to kindergarten, graduate, celebrate. Go through 1 through 6, graduate each of those years. Graduate, celebrate. Go through high school, all the years of high school, graduate, celebrate. Go through college, higher education, every one of those years, graduate, celebrate. Where's the delayed gratification? Down the tubes. We don't know how to wait. Society is teaching us not to be able to wait. We got to have things now. But that's not what God's plan is. God does not work by these flimsy, foolish things that only work in the bubble of time. These do not work in eternity. Sorry. You're not going to have to carry any of these around when you get to eternity. But they work real good here sometimes. In fact, they work too good. And sometimes you can set them to work for you. Let me throw something out here. Look at your watches for a second. I have 20 minutes, 25, 27 minutes after 11. What do you have? Anyone have the same? 11:27. Anything different? 25? 26? Anyone else different? You see, if it's only one or two people that have a different thing, what it's saying to me is you can't, if I asked you when Jesus is coming, you would be a minute or two off if I believed you and you were off of my watch. You would be a minute or two off for me to take your word of what thus says the Lord for you right now. Right now. Now. Because that ain't when it happened. It's not going to happen then. It's in God's timing. So we're living in this age of gratification, and it's immediate gratification. It's immediate celebration. It's immediate. We've got to celebrate now. What does that do for a person, though, that has been crying out and waiting and seeing things and not understanding why they're happening? Let's graduate. Let's celebrate. They're not going to respond to that. How do you get answers to find out why? You see, the whole thing behind what this prophet is doing, he was having a conversation with Almighty God, and he was aggravated to the nth degree, seeing what the nation of Judah had finally ended up to become, an unrepentant, horrible, sinful, wicked nation before God, an idolatrous nation. And he's crying out, why? Why? Why is it, oh God, that it seems as though all the wicked people, all the unrighteous people are doing all of these things, and it seems that they're prospering. They're getting ahead. They're getting the jobs. They're driving the new cars. They're buying the new homes. They're getting they're going on trips. They're getting blessed by other wicked people. God's people are not doing too good. Wouldn't that get you a little bit aggravated? It gets me aggravated as well, because we're seeing this today. But what do we do? There's an example to follow. Even in Habakkuk, however you want to say his name. Where do you go when you need an answer from God, when you're crying out to him? Well, Habakkuk shows us, he says in chapter 2, I will stand my watch, whatever position you have to take, I will stand my watch and set myself, not with your friends, not with your mates, not with your family, not with anybody that you like to spend time with. There are times, friends, when you have to get in God's face, and I'm talking from experience myself, about my own experience. You have to get in God's face all by yourself, but not just any place. He said he set himself up on a rampart, a high place, way up. Why did he do that? Because down where he was, even though he wanted to hear God, he was also going to hear the clattering tongues of everybody else around him saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, and then you've got the other wicked people saying, you believe that stuff, you little turkey, you stupid chicken? What's wrong with you? Have some fun in life. So I got all these voices going around, all these things that he's seeing and hearing. Even if his friends, they were wonderful people, get away, go up, and spend time on the rampart and listen and watch for the voice of God. He'll speak. He will speak. He did speak. We can see it here. Praise God. He says, write the vision. That's from the Lord. And make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Well, who is the first one to read this? God is speaking to none other than Habakkuk. He says, write it out, what I've told you. Write it out so you don't forget. You could be young and you still forget some details. Isn't that true? You know, the devil has a way of twisting things. Write it out plain and clear so that as you go on in life, if something comes your way, well, here comes this, if you're in the right age bracket and single, here comes this sweet-looking chick. And all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at her and it's like, and you're losing it. Hello. And you're get the list out of the person that God told you to look for. Yes, you. Sorry, girl, you don't fit it. See you later. I'm not going to get entangled with you. It looks like, man, she's the one, but look at her. God, look at her. God says she's not the one. Read what I told you. You put down exactly what you want. If you're asking God for a particular girl or a particular boy or a young man or a husband and young wife to come, be specific. Keep the tablet. Keep it written down. Don't forget. Because the devil has a way of twisting you, twisting your brains, twisting your heart, and you will get involved so quick you won't know what hit you, but it's the wrong person. Let's just not talk about relationships. Let's talk about another kind of relationship. Let's talk about business. Let's talk about work. Write it down, what I've told you, so that when you write it down, you can run with it. Okay, business. You've got it written down. There's a deal that's just come up. My goodness, man, look at the buck signs following this thing. It all looks good, but the boss is a sinner. You going to take it? You going to get unequally yoked to start a business? Oh, but I can get him saved. Read your list. What did God say to you? What are the restrictions? What are the conditions? You know, we do it all the time. We read conditions, restrictions, and we obey them to get where we want to go with people. But when it comes to God, well, I mean, you know, he's all right. He's just, I can't see him. Most times I don't hear him all the time, but that's okay. Is it? Write it down. Write it down so you can see. And you know something? When you, God gives you something and he says, run with it, you have to run with it. Don't expect, and I'll say this the right way, at first, don't expect even your wife to run with it unless God's speaking and you come into agreement. Don't expect others to run with you. They're not going to. And don't start running with other people when God told you, I want you to run that way, not that way. Are you following what's going on this morning? It's so in front of our face all the time. And it says here, he says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Oh, excuse me. This is why I hate watches. I love going to Vanuatu when I did, because you can talk all day, all afternoon, and if you go to China, it's the same thing. All day, all afternoon, and night. And they don't tarry. They don't get tired. They want to hear more. They want to hear more. Sorry. It's 25 to 12. Can you hold on for another maybe 10 minutes or so? Good. Because the doors are locked anyways. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Doesn't go by this, but it's an appointed time that God has set. Remember Jesus said something in the New Testament? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons God has placed into being. So forget it. Follow and have faith. The just shall walk by faith. In fact, I forgot to read that last verse, verse 4. Verse 4 says, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his personal faith in God and his word. How does faith come? Hearing. It's just once and hearing and hearing and rehearsing and hearing. And you start to run. You know, it's just like there's two legs to faith. Faith works. Faith works. Faith works. And it gets you in motion. You start off walking, but then you can eventually run and you become a marathon runner in Christ with your faith. Because you start to see things. The longer you walk with God, sometimes a lot quicker than those who are just starting out, but you become an example to those who are just starting out as well. But going back to this here, I want to use an illustration in a moment. It says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. You have to run with your vision. I have to run with God, what he wrote down for me. And what he wrote down for me is not what he wrote down for you, because we're different. But at the end of what? At the end of waiting for God to finally make it manifest in his exact perfect time, like that car coming off, it came right off at the perfect time, and it was already petrol waiting for it to start it off. At the end, it will speak. It will not lie. God is not man that he should lie. Man is a liar. It's all in us. How many here have never lied in your life? If you put your hand up, you're a liar. We're all liars. Little white lies, they're still lies. Liars won't be going to heaven. They'll be going to hell. We need to actually, we talk about all these other horrible sins that people get involved in. Well, liars aren't going to be in heaven either. God saves us from that because we take the likeness of Christ. We're not like ourselves, what we used to be, liars. God teaches us to tell the truth, even when we have to humble ourselves and bow Praise God. He says, but this, and I'll finish with this, though it tarries, there's two words here for tarry. The first one, tarry. Though it tarries, the first word here, tarry, means to, none of us like this. The first word means to delay. Don't you love that, Kylie? Anybody else? To delay, to be late in doing something. God. What's somebody you? How long do I have to wait? How long do I have to cry out? When are you going to answer my prayer? He says, though it tarries, though it delays, though it is late in doing something, he goes on to say, thank God for this last line. He says, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I'm going to ask Steve if you can pick up a chair and just sit, put it over there and sit on that side. Is that all right with you? And you can face the congregation because I have to. Ah. And you know, just to leave you with this, just a little bit more room away from the table. You don't know what's coming, but I do. Because God told me to. You know, there's times in our lives where we just think, okay, well, God, what's going on? And I don't seem to have answers. I've been praying for a long time. You know, we sweat it when we don't get an answer. If we're going through something 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, God, I've been going through this for 6 months. I've been going through this for 6 years. No answer. Faithful to go to church, faithful to pray, faithful to cry to you. But you didn't answer, and you're not answering, and you're not answered up to this day. What do you do? Though it tarries, wait. It will come. It will not tarry. The second connotation of that word is tarry. In the last part, it says, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. It means to abide or stay in one place. Set. Are you getting it? Set. Who's the one that's in delay? I haven't gotten there yet. Why? Because God is orchestrating things unbeknownst to my little finite brain, sometimes around the other side of the world. We were not here once. We were not Australian citizens once. I didn't even know where this nation was. Well, when I learned of it in school, when I was going through the early grades. But all of a sudden, in God's perfect timing, and our crying out to God, where do you want us to go? We'll go anywhere. Well, I would. I'd go to Africa. I'm not sure about Marianne, but a lot of times she says, thank God we didn't go to Africa. Well, grace be with us if we did. But, you know, hey. But God, in his perfect timing, what we were asking him to do, waiting on him, it seemed like it was never, ever going to come. We were down with, pardon my expression, with the chicks and the chooks. We were down with our parents, hearing what our parents were saying. But they were saying some good things, but are you sure you should, you know? Sure you should go there? Why can't you stay here? Well, we were waiting, but we were hearing all of these voices. It wasn't until we actually started getting and going up the rampart, up in a high place, to get away from all the other voices around us, to let God speak to us and say again, I've called you here. I've called you here. I've called you. Write it down. Write it down. So that when we came back down, all the chooks and all the clamoring lips would not cause our brains to get fuzzy. But we had to wait for an appointed time, and it was not going to tarry. It was already set even before we were born. Are you getting it? Even before we were born, our substance was formed. What God had told us to do in the annals of his plan for our lives was set, stayed, already there, planted, fixed by God. I was the one, and Pastor Marianne was the one, we were the ones who sometimes squalling and bawling, dragging our feet. When? How? Where? Impossible. Not realizing that with things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And we did write stuff down. And God did show me things. He showed me visions of this place free of charge. Didn't have to get Qantas or any other American Airlines to come over. Saw things in the spirit. So when I got here, they were already fixed. It was the fuel to keep myself going. God, you showed me even before I got here. But I began to realize that even before we decided to come here, even before we went to Bob, even before we were born, you set it in place, and it was not going to tarry. What was God doing? You got the two words. Who are the ones? We were the ones that were going through periods of time where we were going along, and God, all of the things that we were going through, yeah, hard times. And I'm not just talking for myself. You think of the things that you've gone through, what God has brought you through. But keep in mind what God has fixed for you. Don't lose heart. It's coming. Going along, and we go through times where we go to Bible college, and all of a sudden we got married, went to straight off to Bible college after a three-week honeymoon. And every time we come back on a holiday, we'd see our friends, they all of a sudden buy a new car. And they got a new home. They got a nice job. And we're sort of like at Bible college. And they've got kids, little tiny kids now, little babies. And we're thinking, we can't do it yet. Not the right time yet. And so another time we go home, a couple years later, a year or so later, we see more cars, more a nice home, more kids. When? 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 You're looking at something that's not, we're not a finished product, but man, it's not been easy, and I can guarantee it's not been easy for you either. But God's going to take you through. Write it down. Keep on running with it. You'll get there. God's promise is never fails. Don't you fail God. But realizing then, you know, that all the stuff that we're going through, they're crying and weeping and not knowing where, what country to go to. All of a sudden in the third year, God sends an Australian couple. My internship. They sounded English to me. Driving around on the school bus, taking them to church, coming back, and all of a sudden realizing, you know, there's something unique about this couple, man. It's more than just the accent. We became what, best of friends for the remainder of their short time at our Bible college. He just wanted to get a bachelor's of arts. They were only got a diploma here for 2-3 years. He wanted to get a bachelor of arts. So he went to our college. God sent him in the annals of his time, his plan not only for their life, but for our lives. And speaking to them, God began to give us crystal vision, clarity. It's coming. It's coming. I started to talk because I was putting Marianne through her last year of school. Then she was pregnant with little Aubrey. And I'm going around thinking, there was a lady who was married to a Kiwi. She was an American lady. She was on the nursing staff there. And I go up there, I says, well, you know, we're planning to go to Australia. I mean, I'm really excited about this. And I can hear, like, she was a Kiwi. I can hear you got an accent. Where are you from? And she's from New Zealand. And I says, oh, you sound just English to me, but it sounds good, man. I like the accent. I says, well, we're planning to go, and I'm hoping that God will get us there in about maybe 5-6 months. We're trying real hard. We've already applied for a visa, And she says, well, she said, not to discourage you, she said, but it's probably going to take longer than that, maybe up 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to go yesterday. It took just about that, 2 years, with a couple of failures in between. In the office at the Australian Consulate, all of a sudden things are going good. you have any training for the job you're going to do? Yeah, I read 5 books. Sorry. Jaw drops. I look at Marianne down the tubes. God had it planned in his annal. It'll come. It's tarrying. It'll come. Wait for it. Well, we're here. Lock, stock, and barrel. God works. Wait for it. Now, what I want to show you is this. All the stuff that we're doing sometimes and what we're going through and the crying, and sometimes if you're not crying out to God, you need to start crying out to God. Be desperate for God. Be desperate for what he wants and the plans he has for your life. If you don't know what they are, be desperate for them. If you know what the plan is for your life, keep on walking in it and through it. There's still more to come. It's there, tarrying, planted, immovable. God set it there. Let there be light at the beginning of the world. Light was. That's when God spoke out the existence even before we knew it, before we were even matter in ourselves. It was there. Now, sorry about the time scale, but I just want to show you this. Though it tarry, wait for it. Oh God, I'm waiting. I'm crying out to you. I don't understand all of these things that are going. And meanwhile, I'm not realizing it, but every day the steps of a righteous man are what? Come on. Ordered by the Lord. Where is he ordering our feet to go? To that which is tarrying, wait and set for us to come to receive it. It's not just a once-off, but this is a once-off just going for the very next thing that I need. What do you need next in your life? Are you waiting? It's there. Are you tarrying, going through the days? It's tarrying, waiting for you to get up to it. Every day that I've taken a step, it seems one forward and sometimes three backwards. But every time God says, I'm leading you to that which I've set in motion for you, it's mine. It's not yours, I receive it. It's not anyone else's, it's for me. It's my blessing. It's all of what God has made for me at that particular time to bless the socks off of me. And he's moving me closer and closer every day, even though I don't see it. I haven't reached it yet. Have I? I haven't reached it yet. I know y'all waiting for this. And we start moving closer and closer, and all of a sudden, you know, you start saying the scriptures all over, and all of a sudden, God opens the door, and he realizes, this is my blessing through Christ. He planted Christ in every blessing that he's made for you, just for you, tailored for you, exactly when you need it. Isn't that good? You can go back to your seat now. Glory. That was a long time sitting, bro. He tarried. That's exactly what it is. He tarried. He didn't move. That was my blessing coming up, and so to speak. I was tarrying, moving along in God's plan. Just moving along. Amen. I hope this helped you. I know it's a little bit on the late side. It's only 1 o'clock, but no, I'm just kidding. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Let's just ask God to bless this to our hearts. Father, we ask this morning that you'd bless your word. Make it the impartation into our spirits, into our hearts, into our minds. Make it vivid, Lord, to us. And cause us, Lord God, even though we're crying out to you, not to give up, not to give up, and not to stop, but to keep on moving forward because your hand is on our shoulders, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like that. And you're pushing us, Lord, to your blessing that you've prepared for us. It's tarrying. It's waiting. It's immovable, waiting for us to receive it. We thank you for that now. We thank you for breakthroughs in the name of Jesus for all of us, Father, in this place and in our city, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, you can have coffee if you have time to. Yeah, and if anyone does need prayer, I'll be up in the front here for a couple of seconds.